Brian Tracy here. Thank you very much for being on this teleseminar. I promise you this is going to be one of the greatest hours of your life. I have to tell you, January is a wonderful month because, you know, like in China, what they do is everybody tears up all their debts and they start the whole year over again. In January, we can draw a line under every part of our life and start over again and say, okay, that was then, this is now. Last year, I may have done or not done something, but this is now. So what I do every single January, I make a decision that this is going to be the best year of my life. This is going to be the best year of my life. So I want you to make that decision as well and say, this is going to be the best year of my life so far. And then you say, all right, now what do I have to do to make this the best year? If I'm looking back on December 31st of this year, and this has been the best year of my life, what has happened? And you start to think like that, and you'll be absolutely astonished at the things that will happen to you. So let us begin this call, Goals, How to Get Everything You Want Faster Than You Ever Thought Possible, and then we'll come back and we'll answer any questions that you may have. Is everybody ready to go?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, sir. Yep. All right. Yes. Put up your seat belts, put up your tray tables, and away we go. Some years ago, several very wealthy people got together in Chicago, and one of them told me this story, and they were talking about success, and success is money, and success is health, and success is good family, and so on. And one of them stopped and said, I'll tell you what success is. He said, success is goals, and all else is commentary. Success is goals, and all else is commentary. I was reading what was considered the beginning of the personal improvement industry's message, Earl Nightingale's Strangest Secret. And he said, the strangest secret is that you become what you think about most of the time, and successful people think about their goals. Unsuccessful people think about their problems and what went wrong and what they could have done and their childhood and so on, but successful people think about their goals most of the time. This is the great discovery throughout all of human history. Your life only becomes a great life when you clearly identify what it is that you want, make a plan to achieve it, and then work on that plan every day. If you look at philosophy, philosophers say the one common denominator of all human beings is that we all want to be happy. So what is happiness? Well, one of the best definitions is that happiness is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. It's the progressive step-by-step movement toward a goal that's important to you. And here's what psychologists have recently discovered. There's a write-up a few months ago. They found that it's not just achieving the goal, and sometimes it's not achieving the goal at all. It's the feeling of movement toward achieving the goal that makes you happy. It makes you feel powerful. It gives you energy. It makes you feel strong and effective. We find that going back to Aristotle said that human beings are teleological, which is a big Greek word for purpose-oriented. Is human beings are designed as organisms to work toward purposes. And it is only when you are working toward purposes of your own choosing that are important to you that you feel fully alive and happy, and you have more energy. And what we have, psychologists and doctors have found is that when you're working step by step toward a goal, your brain releases endorphins and dopamines. And the endorphins are called nature's happy drug. And when you are feeling yourself in forward motion, this endorphin is released, and it makes you feel happy, and it gives you energy, and it makes you more creative, and it makes you more exhilarated, makes you feel powerful. So we say, the primary reason for failure, according to Napoleon Hill, is that people do not develop new plans to replace those plans that didn't work. And this is an important point because no matter what you try, it won't work. At least it won't work the first time. So successful people set goals and they give them a try. And you know what happens? It doesn't work. So they try something else and it doesn't work. And they try something else and it doesn't work. I just had a meeting this morning with a businessman who's been trying for 5 years to start a business. And he tried something, it didn't work. He tried a whole series of different things, and then finally he found, within all the work that he'd done, the formula, almost like a miraculous recipe, and today he's doing $600,000 worth of sales a month. He'll be at $1 million a month by June. He'll be at $2 million a month by the end of the year, and his business is just growing like a fusion reaction. But for 5 years, he tried different things before he finally found the right plan that helped him to achieve his goal. The reason I tell you this is because no matter what you try, you're going to have all kinds of disappointments and setbacks and obstacles and problems and so on. But the difference between the winner and the loser, the winner just takes it in stride. They say, well, The price of success is you have to overcome all these obstacles and problems. The loser loses heart, gives up, weeps, cries, blames other people, and goes home and watches television. So, I've been on more than 4,000 radio and television shows, and they keep asking me the question, what was a turning point in your life? What was the low point that you finally saw the light and rose toward the sunshine and so on, as though everybody who was successful was once in a ditch somewhere. And I used to get really frustrated with that because I didn't feel it applied to me. I felt that success is a progressive working on many things over a long period of time. And then I realized that there was an answer. And so I found that there were three turning points for me that seemed to be the turning points in every single book or article I ever read about any successful person. And number one, my first turning point, was when I discovered that I was responsible for my own life and for everything that happened to me. And I had this experience when I was 21 years old. And I was living in a small apartment and working on a construction job, and it was freezing cold outside, and I had very little money. And I suddenly realized, this is my life. This is it. Nothing is going to change unless I change. Because nobody else really cares about your life except you. And if you don't take responsibility, nothing will happen. And I still remember that, sitting in that crummy little one-bedroom apartment where I had a fold-out sofa in the one room that I slept in. I remember I was responsible. Even to this day, I think, what a wonderful thought. And then I spoke to Colin Powell, and we were doing seminars together, and he said, you know, that responsibility, accepting responsibility is the turning point in life. Accepting responsibility is the key to leadership. Accepting responsibility is the difference between success and failure. And so when Colin Powell talks about success, and he always talks about personal responsibility. So that was the first turning point. And so remember these words. Say these words over and over again. I am responsible. I am responsible. I am responsible. Whenever you have a problem or a worry or a concern or an obstacle, you're mad at somebody else, stop and say, wait a minute. I am responsible. I may not be responsible for what someone else did, but I'm responsible for how I behave. And I'm going to behave in a constructive way. So the second turning point in my life was when I learned that life is not a rehearsal for something else. This is the real thing. And the second turning point was that when I was 24 years old was when I discovered goals. When I discovered goals, it changed my life. I had read an article or something about successful people have goals. So I said, well, that seems neat. I was sharing a beaten-down hotel room with someone else because I had no money. So I got a piece of paper from the desk, and I wrote down 10 goals. And I lost the piece of paper. I never saw it again. But within 30 days, my whole life changed. I couldn't believe it. Within 30 days, almost every goal on my list had been achieved or partially achieved. I went from literally making no money to having a good job, and from not selling to selling like a house on fire. I went from being a lonely salesman cold calling to being a sales manager in charge of 30 people. I went from a single room to a rooming house to an apartment. It was the most amazing darn thing. Even though I'd forgotten or lost the list of goals, I knew it was on it. And so it changes your life. And I'm going to show you how to do this, by the way, later on in our call. The third turning point in my life came when I discovered that you can learn anything you need to learn to accomplish any goal you can set for yourself. And this has become kind of my theme for my whole life, is you can learn anything you need to know. Do you want to double your income? You can learn to double your income, because doubling your income is simply a skill. If you can ride a bicycle, if you can drive a car, if you can type with a keyboard, you can double your income. Everybody who's earning twice as much as you was at one time earning half as much as you, and then began doing certain things in a certain way, and now they're earning twice as much or five times as much or 10 times as much. And this was a shock to me. You mean earning money is a skill? Yes. And there are people who run businesses, and they develop the skills of running a business or being a successful salesperson or entrepreneur, or doctor, architect, lawyer, engineer. They've learned the critical skills. They practice the skills until they master them. And as a result, they get paid 5 and 10 times as much as the average person. And so, remember, no one is smarter than you, and no one is better than you. One of the greatest challenges we have, going back to Sigmund Freud, is most people have what are called inferiority complexes. These are ideas that they are not as good as other people, and that other people are better than them. And we make the mistake starting off in school when we see people doing better than us in school subjects or doing better than us in sports. We automatically assume, well, they must be better than us. But the logical conclusion from that is, I must be worse than them. And then the next conclusion is, if they're doing better than me, they must be worth more than me, then I must be worth less. And so psychologists will tell you a feeling of worthlessness, a feeling of undeservingness, a feeling that other people are better than you is the number one reason for failure. Because if you're in a race and you assume the other person can run faster than you, then why try? And the great majority, 80% of people, aren't really trying very hard because they've already concluded that they can't win the race of life. And then when you learn this revelation, it's that every business skill is learnable. Everybody who's in the top 10% started in the bottom 10%. Everybody who's doing well today was once doing poorly. Everybody's at the top of their field start at the bottom. Wow. And then they learn certain things like climbing up a ladder, certain knowledge and skills, and they got to the top of the ladder, and whatever anyone else has done, you can do as well. All business skills, all sales skills, all money-making skills are learnable skills. And top people in every field, including your field, were at one time not in your field and didn't even know that that field existed. And what hundreds of thousands and millions of other people have done, you can do as well if you learn how to set goals. So let's talk about the goal-setting process. I've kind of broken it down. I've worked on this subject for 30 years. I've practiced it myself. I took myself from rags to non-rags. Someone was asking me the other day if I'm rich with these ideas that I teach. And I say, no, I'm not rich, but I'm well off. But rich today is $10 million or more, according to Fortune magazine. So by that measure, I would say that I'm doing pretty well. And I started off living in my car. And what I've done and hundreds of thousands of millions of people have done, you can do as well. So here's the goal-setting process. Number one, remember, you become what you think about most of the time. So number one is to decide exactly what you want in every area of your life. Now, this is really the starting point because only a small number of people ever decide exactly what they want. They say, well, I want to be rich and I want to be thin and I want to be happy and I want to have a nice family and a nice car and take vacations. But these are not goals. These are wishes. I call these cigarette smoke goals. You know, you puff out cigarette smoke, it just kind of disappears in the air. And most people have wishes, and these wishes are common to all human beings. Everybody wants to be rich and thin and happy and have a nice family and live a long life. But these aren't goals because you can't get your arms around them. You can't focus on them. So we say we start off by idealizing. And the way by idealizing, which is one of the great thinking techniques, is that you idealize and you imagine that there are no limitations on what you can be, have, or do in life. Imagine that you have no limitations. Imagine just for a moment that you have all the time and all the money and all the friends and all the contacts and all the education and all the experience you need to accomplish any goal you can set for yourself. At Stanford University in the business faculty, they teach a little exercise, and it's called the 2010 exercise. And they say, when you begin to set goals, imagine that you have $20 million cash in the bank. For whatever reason, that's there. But you only have 10 years left to live. And it's a great exercise because it clears your mind. If you had $20 million, which means you have all the money you could ever need, but you only have 10 years left to live, what would you set as your goals? So we say, imagine that you could wave a magic wand and make your life perfect in each of the four key areas of life. If your life was perfect in each of these areas, which I'll explain, what would it look like? Now, the starting point is income. Your income, your business, your career, your work. How much do you want to earn this year? How much do you want to earn next year, 5 years from today? If you could wave a magic wand and earn the perfect amount, how much would it be? They did a study recently, and they asked people, what would be your ideal income? And the average answer was 40% more than the person was making today. If I could just make 40% more, that would solve most of my financial problems. So what I suggest you do is make a decision to increase your income by 25% each year. That's a good goal. A company should set a goal to grow at 25% a year. You should set a goal to grow your income at 25% a year. And then the only question you ask is how? What are all the different things that I could do to increase my income by 25%? But you pick that number. It's really important that you be clear about how much you want to earn this year. So take your best year in your life and add 25% to it and make that your target number for 2007. Now, you can make it bigger if you want, but it should be a minimum of 25%, and write it down. Okay, the second area is your family. What kind of a lifestyle do you want to create for yourself and your family? If you could wave a magic wand and your family, home, relationships, lifestyle were perfect in every way, what would it look like? What would you do with your family and your friends, your close relationships, day in and day out? Where would you live? What kind of a lifestyle would you have? What would you do on the weekends? What kind of vacations would you take? What kind of house, home, cars, and so on? One of the things that we set as a goal for our children was that they got a great education. So the very first thing we did is we saved up enough money to put them in private schools. And it was a real thing for us because we'd grown up, my wife and I had grown up, I dropped out of high school in the 12th grade, she dropped out of high school in the 10th grade. We both got back eventually and got educations, but we wanted our children to have college education and put them in private schools. Wow. It cost as much to put a kid in a private school when they were growing up as we used to make in a year. But we were clear about what kind of a lifestyle we wanted for our family, especially our children when they grew up. And we wanted them to have a wonderful education and be educated with good people so they'd have good contacts and great possibilities. So what kind of a lifestyle do you want? The third area where you must be clear and decide exactly what you want is with regard to your health. How would your health be different if it was perfect in every way? If your health was perfect in every way, how would it be different from today? How much would you weigh? How much would you exercise? How much would you sleep? How would you feel? What could you do starting today to enjoy perfect health and fitness with no pain, no problems at all? And whatever it is, be clear about that ideal. And finally, the fourth part, the fourth thing that is important is net worth. How much do you want to save and accumulate in the course of your working lifetime? This is an interesting question because more and more baby boomers are hitting the magic retirement number. There's 77 million that will retire in the next few years, and two-thirds of them are in serious trouble. Fully 65-75% of them plan to work after the age of 70. Can you guess why? It's because they don't have money put aside, because they never ask themselves, how much do I need to be worth to retire? So ask yourself, what is the number that you'll have in order to retire? And the number, by the way, the greater clarity you have with this number, the more likely it is you'll achieve it. The number is to take your monthly income. How much would it take for you to live each month completely comfortably without having any income at all? And so let's say it's $5,000 a month. With $5,000 a month, I can enjoy my current lifestyle. Then you say multiply that by 12, that's $60,000. And then you multiply that, $60,000 per year. Then you multiply that times 20 years, which gives you $1.2 million. And that's your number. And that becomes the organizing principle of your financial life, is to get to your number as soon as you can. And it's absolutely amazing. People who set that number when they're 25 hit it when they're 45. Some people don't set the number till they're 55. And it takes them 10, 12 years to get there. But you've got to know what your number is. How much can you do you have to live comfortably each month? Multiply it by 12, multiply it by 20, and that becomes your focal point. That becomes your long-term financial goal. Well, there's a three-goal method that we teach in our advanced coaching programs. We teach it over and over again, and I give it to my audiences over and over again. And it's an amazing technique. Is what you do, you say, in less than 30 seconds, write down your three most important goals in life. And that's what we do. We tell people, in 30 seconds, write down your three most important goals in life. And while I'm talking, if you have a pen next to you, you can write this down, or you will receive this written out, and you can do it when you get the information on the Internet. And whatever your answer is to this question, your three most important goals in life, is a way of telling you what are the three most important things in your life. Because when you only have 30 seconds to write the answer, what are your three most important goals in life? The answers will go pop, 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 and they'll turn out to be your three most important goals. Now, because you only have 30 seconds, your answers will be general, but my experience, in 80% of cases, when you ask this question, it will be a financial goal, people want to earn more money, it'll be a relationship goal, people want to spend more time with the important people in their life or meet the most important person, or number three, it'll be a health goal, they want to lose weight or become fitter. Those are the three major goal areas in life. And you'll find if you give yourself a grade of 1 to 10 on each of those areas, you'll find that your biggest area of concern is the area where you score the lowest. So you could give yourself an 8 or 9 on your family, an 8 or 9 on your health, and a 5 in terms of your income, in terms of money, and that will be the area that causes you the most concern. If you want to have some fun, by the way, sit down with your spouse and say, honey, here's a piece of paper. Write down your three most important goals in life. And give her 30 seconds or give him 30 seconds, and then compare their goals to your goals. And be prepared for a long and interesting conversation because it's really interesting what happens when couples compare their three most important goals in life. Well, the second stage to setting and achieving goals is to write it down. And this is very important, and not typed on the computer screen, but your goals must be in writing. And the reason when we say writing is because there is a connection between your head and your hand. It's an electrical, spiritual, psychological, emotional, metaphysical connection. There's something happens when you write a goal physically with your hand. I was just in Hawaii with Wayne Dyer, who, as you know, sold about 100 million copies of his books. And he writes a book every year. And he writes his books by hand. He doesn't use a dictaphone, doesn't use a computer, doesn't use a typewriter. He writes them all by hand. And each book he writes, once it's written by hand, he sends off to a typist who types it, an editor who edits it, a publisher who publishes it, becomes a bestseller. And what he's found is there's something magical that takes place between the head and the hand when you're writing. And what comes out under your hand is very different from something that you might type or dictate. I just say that because a lot of people say, well, can I dictate it? Can I write it on my computer? Afterwards you can, but initially you have to write it down. Your goals must be clear. They must be specific. They must be detailed. And especially your financial goals have to be measurable. It has to be clear how much you want to earn, how much you want to accumulate. You can't say, I want to make more money, because it's too vague. Your subconscious mind can't go to work on a goal that is unclear. You must write out your goals exactly as if you're placing an order for your goal to be manufactured in a factory at a great distance. So make sure that the goal is clear, so if you could mail it off, the goal will come back in the mail exactly the way you described it. Here's an interesting thing. The more detailed the description of your goal on paper, the faster it comes into your reality. I learned this many years ago, and it's a shocking discovery, but there's a direct one-to-one relationship between the clarity with which you see your goal and the speed at which it appears in front of you. So if people have vague and fuzzy ideas about their goals, then it takes a long time for those goals to appear, if ever. But if people are crystal clear about their goals, their ideal, their imagined goal, it's amazing how fast it appears. It's a point that we'll talk on a little bit later under visualization. So just make your goal clear and detailed in every way. Only 3% of adults have written goals, and everybody else works for them. I travel all over the world, and I say, how many people in this room have clear written goals and plans that they work on every day? It's never more than 3%. And those people are the movers and the shakers and the leaders and the company owners and the builders and the self-made millionaires and the writers and the politicians. All successful people have written goals. And every single person who has ever gone from having goals in their mind to goals on paper is staggered. It's like touching a hot electrical wire. They're absolutely amazed. They say to me, almost like with their eyes open, their jaws falling, I never understood how powerful written goals could be until I started to write them down. And I'm going to show you how to do this in a way that's going to make this year the best year of your life. So the third part of achieving goals is to set a deadline. Your subconscious mind uses deadlines as what are called forcing systems. They kind of force you. They impel you unconsciously, like an assignment you have to have in on time, or you're going to get in a lot of trouble, or a party you have to be to, or a movie you have to get to because it starts at a certain time. Whenever you set a deadline, your subconscious mind drives you and impels you and motivates you and gives you ideas to push you toward hitting the deadline. And if you don't set a deadline, your subconscious mind just lays there. So if your goal is big enough, set sub-deadlines. If you want to achieve financial independence, for example, you may set a 10- or 20-year goal. I want to be worth $1 million starting from zero, and you may give yourself a 10-year goal. Now, people say, I want to be worth $1 million overnight. Well, I would say get your head out of wherever it's stuck and be realistic. Be honest about setting goals. Okay, if you're starting from zero, remember, you cannot achieve on the outside what you have not become on the inside. If you want to become a millionaire on the outside, you must become a millionaire on the inside, and that takes a lot of time. It's taking you your whole life to become the person you are today. It's going to take you a little while to become a completely different person. Not that you will not do it, it's just that it's not that fast. So if you have a 10 or 20-year goal, then break it down. A person says, I want $1 million in 10 years. Say, $1 million in 10 years, that means $500,000 in 5 years. That's 4, 3, 2, 1. That means by the end of this year, you would want to have $100,000 working. That means 75, 50, 25. You'd want 25,000 by the end of March. That means you break it down, 7,500 per month, and you break it all the way back to today, and now you know how much you're going to have to work and save each day, each week, each month, each year to achieve your goal. And then, of course, ask yourself the question, is this realistic, or do I need to make it a longer goal, shorter goal, and so on? If for some reason you don't achieve your goal by the deadline, simply set a new deadline. As we say, there are no unreasonable goals. There's only unreasonable deadlines. And when you start off setting goals, by the way, your ability to set deadlines will not be very well developed. So sometimes you set a deadline of a year and accomplish it in a week. Sometimes you set a deadline of a week and it may take you a year. But with experience, you get to the point where you can start to rifle in and set the goal and set the deadline and hit it with precision. Now, the fourth step is to identify the obstacles that you'll have to overcome to achieve your goal. You identify these obstacles by asking this question: why aren't you already at your goal? If you want to double your income, why aren't you already earning twice as much? If you want to weigh a certain amount, why don't you already weigh that amount? What are the obstacles? And this brings us to one of the most powerful principles in achieving goals. It's called the theory of constraints. And it says that there's always one limiting factor or constraint that sets the speed at which you achieve your goal. What is it for you? What sets the speed? If you're in sales, you'll say, what sets the speed is the number of sales I make. Well, what is the limiting factor on the number of sales you make? Well, maybe it's the number of people I see. Well, is that the true limiting factor? Maybe it's the number of sales that you close for the people you see. Maybe it's the quality of the people you see. Maybe it's the size of each sale of the people you see. Maybe it's how often the people you see buy and buy again and recommend you to their friends. But whatever it is, there's a constraint that determines how fast you achieve the goal you set for yourself. And the 80-20 rule applies to constraints. Fully 80% of the reasons that are holding you back from achieving your goal are inside of yourself. Only 20% are on the outside. 80% of all the constraints in our life that hold us back from being happy, healthy, thin, and rich are inside ourselves. They're the lack of a skill or a quality we need to develop or a behavior or a body of knowledge we need to learn. It's something inside ourself that is lacking that's holding us back. Now, the reason I emphasize this is because the strategy of the average person is when they have a goal for themselves, they immediately blame something on the outside for not achieving their goal. They can even go back and blame their parents. My parents didn't raise me right. They weren't nice to me, and so on and so forth. Or it's their boss, or it's the industry, or it's the competition, or it's something. But the fact of the matter is, when you change your own thinking about yourself and you become absolutely clear about the goal and you go to work on that constraint, suddenly everything else changes. So what we do is we ask this question: when you want to achieve a goal, what is it in me that is holding me back? What is it in me that is holding me back? What is it that I need to change about myself that's holding me back? One of my friends is one of the top executive coaches in the U.S., and he works with only top executives of Fortune 1000 corporations. And they bring him in to work with senior executives who have a character flaw that is impairing their effectiveness. And what he does is he sends out surveys to all the people who work for him and has a meeting with the executive, and they conclude that there's one quality or characteristic that this person needs to develop to reach his full potential. And for 1 year, they work on that one quality or characteristic, maybe being patient, being a better listener, being better organized, treating people with more respect, just some small thing, and they work on that for a year, and they bring about that change. In other words, they alleviate that one personality constraint, and the executive soars and becomes one of the most valuable people in his organization, if not the entire industry, by simply identifying the one quality of personality that's holding him back from greatness or holding her back and finding a way to alleviate it. Well, the fifth key is to identify the knowledge, information, and skills that you will need to achieve your goal. There's an old saying that to achieve something you've never achieved before, you must become someone you've never been before. And an extension to that is you must learn and apply something you've never learned and applied before. Is whatever got you to where you are today is not enough to keep you there. Is whatever knowledge and skills you have now are foundation skills. In order to go to the next level, you have to develop new knowledge and skills. Peter Drucker says the only skill that will be valid in the 21st century will be the skill of learning new skills, because every other skill you have will become obsolete. So it's very important that you ask yourself, what are the skills that you will need to develop to be in the top 10% in your field? Now, the greatest discovery is this: is your weakest key skill sets the height of your income and the height of your success. Now, let me repeat that, because this is really important. We talk about the 80-20 rule. Well, there's one skill of all the skills you have that determines the height of your income, and it's your weakest skill. So let's say you're in business and you have to recruit, hire key people. Your ability to hire key people can determine the entire success of your business career and your entire life. If you're in sales, the ability to prospect, or the ability to present, or the ability to close, or the ability to get referrals, wherever you're weak, sets the height of your income. So what we find is you can make more progress by going to work on the one skill that's holding you back, like an anchor, than you can in anything else that you do. So here's the key question. It's one of the greatest questions you'll ever learn in your life. It's literally like an organizing principle for success. It's this question. What one skill, if you developed and did it in an excellent fashion, would have the greatest positive impact on your life? What one skill, if you developed and did it consistently in an excellent fashion, would help you the most to achieve your most important goal? We ask our sales teams, what one skill would help you the most to double your income? And then we sit down, write it down, talk about it, and we find that everybody knows what it is. And the good news is that whatever you have identified as your weakest skill is a learnable skill. Everybody who can do that well today was once poor at it. And they learned, they practiced, and so on. Whatever the skill that you've identified, write it down, make a plan, and work on it every day. So, in terms of big goals, you have to have a goal for what it is you want to accomplish, and you have to have a goal for the skill or skills you're going to have to develop in order to accomplish it. And the best time to get started on them is right away. So the sixth part of achieving goals is to identify the people whose help and cooperation you will require to achieve your goal. Who are the people? Sometimes it's a key person you have to hire. Sometimes it's your boss. Sometimes it's a key staff member. Sometimes it's a key supplier or banker or supplier of finance. But who are the key people whose help and cooperation you will require? You can never accomplish anything very worthwhile in life without the help of lots of people. So start by making a list of every person in your life that you will have to work with or work around to achieve your goal. Start with the members of your family whose cooperation and support you will require. Interestingly, by the way, I'm listening to a husband and wife team talk, and they came up with a phrase that I really liked. It was called a deliberate extreme. And they said that in life, sometimes you're going to have to work 7 days a week for several weeks or months in order to start a business or a new career. You're going to have to go to a deliberate extreme. And so what you do is you sit down with the members of your family and say, you know, for the next little while, I'm going to have to work my head off, and I won't be able to spend a lot of time. But I promise you that once I get through this phase, I'll make it up to you. I'll take you on vacation. We'll do all kinds of things together. And you get their cooperation to help you during this period of deliberate extreme, this period where you really, really have to work hard. People come to me and say, yeah, but I want to have balance all the time. I want to have balance in my family and balance in this. Well, unfortunately, in life, there are times when you will have to have imbalance. It's just an unavoidable fact of life that if you want to really make it to the top, there are times where you have to work your head off for an extended period of time to break out. And so when you do that, make sure that everybody around you understands and you have their cooperation and then they help you. List your boss, your coworkers, and your subordinates. These are all people whose help you'll require. I especially identify the customers whose support you will need to sell enough of your product or service to make the kind of money that you want. And that's really important because if you're in business, the critical thing is your customers. You need their cooperation and support and patronage in order to achieve your financial goals. Once you've identified the key people whose help you will require, ask yourself this magic question. What's in it for them? What's in it for them? What are they going to get by for helping me? And always start off by helping them get what they want. Remember, Zig Ziglar says you can get everything you want in life if you just help enough other people get what they want. Well, make sure that you understand that people only do things for their own reasons. People are always self-centered. So before you ask something of someone else, think of what you can do for them. We say instead of being a go-getter, be a go-giver. Just find ways to give to people, and you'll get everything you want back. The rule is to achieve big goals, you'll have to have the help and support of lots of people. One key person at a certain time and place in your life can make all the difference. So the most successful people are those who build and maintain the largest networks of other people whom they can help and who can help them in return. There's a rule in life, by the way, I call it the one-to-one rule, is your success in life will be in direct proportion to the number of people who you know and who know you in a positive way. So successful people are constantly getting involved with their business organizations, associations, their chambers of commerce, business meetings, real estate associations. Whatever your industry, get involved with other people in your industry. Meet them, talk to them, look for ways to help them, because the greater number of people you know, the greater number of doors will open for you. If people just go to work and go home and watch television, very little happens to them. There's very few people going to drop by your house with an opportunity. But if you're out there intermingling, working with people, having lunch with them, having coffee, going to meetings, and so on, you'll be astonished at the things that will happen. So the seventh key to setting and achieving goals is to make a list of everything that you'll have to do to achieve your goal. So you combine the obstacles that you'll have to overcome, the knowledge and skills you'll have to develop, and the people whose cooperation you'll require, and these all go in a list. List every single step that you can think of that you'll have to follow to ultimately achieve your goal. As you think of new items, write them down, add them until your list is complete. If you think of something else, write it on the list. Keep it on the list. A person who has got a clear goal and a list of everything they have to do will accomplish extraordinary things. Some years ago, I was approached by Suzuki Motor Company, who wanted to import vehicles into Canada for the first time. And I was working with a large company who put up the money and all the resources, and they put me in charge of the division. Now, I had never imported Japanese vehicles and set up dealerships over a multi-thousand-mile area in my life before. So I went out and I started asking questions of people who had. Finally, I found a man who was in charge of importing Subaru into Canada. Again, very popular vehicle at that time. And I said, well, what are the steps that you follow to set up a national distribution network? He said, well, as a matter of fact, he said, when he put in his proposal to get the job from Subaru, he put together basically a punch list, a checklist of 42 points. He said, I think I've got it here somewhere. And he pulled it out and he gave it to me. I said, could I have a copy of that? And it had to do with organizing contracts, arranging banking, arranging trucks, arranging warehousing, shipping, parts, distribution, hiring key people, and so on. I took that list, and that list became my Bible. For the next 3 months, I walked around with that list, ticking off items. At the end of the third month, the first 300 vehicles came off the ship from Japan. They were ready to go to the dealers and distributors. The banks were in place. The warehouse was in place. The parts people, the service people, the shipping people, the financial. It was the most amazing darn thing. I just worked the list. Afterwards, they said, the Japanese said that they'd never seen anyone with such limited experience put together such a successful distribution operation in the history of 120 countries. And how did I do it? I just had a list. So it's really important. You cannot imagine. Just have a list and work down your list and keep going up and down the list until you've got it all ticked off, and you'll accomplish extraordinary things. When you make out a list of all the things you need to do to achieve your goal, you'll begin to see that this goal is far more attainable than you thought. Remember the old saying, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. You can build the biggest wall in the world one brick at a time. If you look at a huge goal, like becoming a self-made millionaire, it's a huge goal, but if you break it down into individual steps, and you break down books into individual chapters, and you break down your hours into individual activities, you could find, as they say, by the yard it's hard, but inch by inch, anything's a cinch. And you develop that mentality by making a list of small things and then working your way down the list. So this number eight is to organize your list into a plan. You organize this list by arranging the steps that you've identified in two ways, by sequence and by priority. Now, sequence is what do you have to do before you do something else? And priority is what is more important and what is less important. When I began studying time management some years ago, I came across a concept that was just so amazing. It said that all success in life comes from the ability to manage and complete projects. And a project is defined as a multi-task job. It's a job where you have to complete several little tasks in order to complete the large task. And successful people are those who can complete multi-task jobs. So I looked at successful people and I found over and over, successful people are described as being very well organized, very good planners, very results-oriented. They get a lot done in a short period of time. And how is it that they do this? Is they make a plan. And they make a list of activities, and they organize the list, which comes before something else, and which is more important, which is less important, and they just work the plan. The 80-20 rule says that 80% of your results will come from 20% of your activities. The 80-20 or the 20-80 rule, which is the flip side, says that the first 20% of time that that you spend planning your goal and organizing your plan will be worth 80% of the time and effort required to achieve the goal. Planning is very important. When Dwight D. Eisenhower, after the Normandy invasion, after they spent 2 years planning, he said, they asked him, how important was the plan that you developed with the general staff? He said, from the first time we hit the beach, the plan was irrelevant. He said, but the planning was everything. He said, the very act of planning enabled them to think through every single thing that could happen and all of the different things that they could do to counter different things that could happen. He said, the plan was obsolete almost by the time they hit the beach, but the planning process was vital. And it's the same with you. Well, now, number 9, you make the plan. And the way you make a plan, you've now made a list, you know, you make a plan, you organize your list into a series of steps from the beginning all the way through to the completion of the goal. When you have a goal and a plan, you increase the likelihood of achieving your goals by 10 times, by 1,000%. And I've made this claim many times, and people say, well, that's just motivational stuff, 10 times and so on. No, it's been validated by research that people who work from a goal and a plan accomplish their goals 10 times faster than people who don't. That's why when I teach goal setting to my audiences, they come back and they're absolutely staggered. They cannot believe the progress they've made. I had a couple in my coaching program recently, and they came in through the fourth session. We have four sessions, one every 3 months for a full day here in San Diego. And they came through the session, and toward the end of the day, they said, could we talk to you privately? I said, yes. Before we came down here, very nice couple, before we came down here, we were very skeptical about taking a coaching program because as a couple, we have our own business. We make $350,000 a year of personal income. Neither one of us went to college, and we're the most successful people in our entire family. We're looked up to by all the family members, and we felt it's quite amazing. We make $350,000 a year. Average family member makes 40 or 50. So we came to this program with great skepticism, but we were astonished by the power of goal setting. So over the last year, we set goals in every part of our life, for ourselves, for our family, for our income, for our health and everything else. And you promised us that we would double our income over the course of a year if we took your program. Well, we have to tell you that we didn't double our income. But we did triple it, and we made more than $1 million last year. We spent 25 years of work building our business to $350,000 personal income. In the last 12 months with written goals, we tripled that income. You know, if we had known this stuff 20 years ago, we'd be multi-millionaires today. We will be multi-millionaires in the future anyway, but we have been multi-millionaires today if we'd known this when we started. That's how powerful written goals and plans are. So plan each day, each week, each month in advance. It only takes a few minutes to plan. Plan each month at the beginning of the month. Plan each week the weekend before. This is interesting, by the way. The highest paid people plan their months and weeks well in advance. If you were to ask me, where will I be on February 23rd at 5 p.m., I can tell you in one flip of a page exactly where I will be and what I will be doing on February 23rd at 5 p.m. because I plan my time as much as 6 months out. Now, of course, you could change and be flexible and everything else, but I wouldn't say beats the heck out of me. I have no idea. No, I know exactly where I'll be. Now, plan each week, each day the evening before. And this is very powerful. I did an interview with a national magazine a few minutes ago, and they asked me, when should you plan your day? And I said, you plan it the evening before, and I'll tell you why. When you write out a list of everything you have to do for the coming day, it's like writing out a list of goals for the coming day. And when you write it down the night before, at the end of your working day, or before you go to bed, your subconscious and your superconscious mind works on it all night long. And when you wake up the next morning, you'll have all kinds of ideas. The thoughts will be integrated. You'll have ideas. You'll have insights that will help you to achieve the tasks of the day far better, faster, more efficiently than you might have imagined. So write down your plan the evening before. The more careful and detailed you are when you plan your activities, remember your multitask goals, the more you will accomplish in less time. The rule, according to the time management experts, is that each minute spent in planning saves 10 minutes in execution. This means that you get a 1,000% return on your investment of time and energy in planning your days, weeks, and months in advance. For example, if you were to spend 10 minutes, and this basically all it takes is 10 to 12 minutes a day to plan the whole day. If you were to spend 10 to 12 minutes, you would save 100 to 120 minutes in actually doing the work later on. And how do you prove that this is not just exaggeration? Try it once. Just try it once. Anybody who tries it once is astonished. You seem to get more done. You get more done faster. You get more done in sequence. All kinds of things happen to you if you write it down in advance. And you will save vastly more than 100 to 120 minutes. Sometimes you'll save a whole day. Well, the 10th key to achieving goals is once you've made your list and your plan, select your number one most important task for each day. Remember, if you could only do one really important task a day, that's 5 or 6 important tasks a week. That's 250 important tasks a year. Do you think that would double, triple, 5 times your income? You bet it would. So, but it's important that it be something that's that vital. Set priorities on your list using the 80-20 rule. And here's a great way. Our natural tendency, by the way, is to major in minors, is to do little unimportant things rather and avoid the big valuable things. So ask yourself this question. Now you're looking at your list for the day. And you ask yourself this question. If I could only do one thing on this list, which one activity is more important than anything else? And whatever it is, put a circle around that and put a number 1 next to that activity. Then ask yourself, if I could only do one other task on this list, which one task would be the most valuable use of my time? And write a number 2 next to that task. Now, what I'm giving you here is one of the simplest and most powerful time management tools in the world. Andrew Carnegie, who became, who sold his steel interest for $595 million in 1895, became the equivalent of about $30 billion today, cash, no taxes, said that this one technique that I'm sharing with you what made him rich more than any other technique he ever learned. He started off as a penniless orphan boy working as a day laborer in a Pittsburgh steel plant, having been sent over from Scotland by his parents who couldn't afford to provide for him. And by the time he was finished, he was one of the richest men in the world, he said, and this was the technique. So, you've now asked, what's the most important use of my time? Put a 1 next to it. What's the second most important use? If I could only do one other thing, what would it be? And then keep asking this question. What's the most valuable use of my time on this list until you have your 7 top tasks organized by sequence and priority? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then you could ask this, if I could only do one thing all day long, which one activity would contribute the most value to my goals? So let's say you say that my most important task is prospecting. If I could only do one thing all day long, what would be the most important use of my time? It's meeting face-to-face with customers. Then the key to that is to prospect enough people so that I have enough people to talk to and meet face-to-face with all day long. So keep looking at your critical activity and the one thing that if you could do it all day long would contribute the most value to your work and your goals. Focus and concentration are the keys to success. Focus means that you know exactly what it is you want to accomplish, and concentration requires that you dedicate yourself to doing only those things that move you toward that goal. Focus and concentration. Focus and concentration. Number 11, develop the habit of self-discipline. Napoleon Hill, after all of his studies of rich people, found that self-discipline was the master key to riches. He said, all other qualities, all other knowledge and skills are useless if they're not backed by self-discipline. I met Kopmeyer before he died. He was 86 years old. He'd spent 54 years reading thousands of books on success. He developed 1,000 success principles that he wrote about and published in 44 languages. And I'd read all of his stuff. So I asked him, Mr. Kopmeyer, of all these 1,000 principles that you've discovered, what's the most important? And he smiled and he looked at me like he heard the question many times. And he said, the most important of all is to develop the discipline to do what you must do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. He said, the ability to discipline yourself to do your most important task is the most important success skill ever learned. And that means that once you've decided on your most important task, resolve to concentrate single-mindedly on that one task until it's 100% complete. I've spent my life studying personal success. I've sold millions of books now in 35 languages in 52 countries. And this is the most important principle. Select your most important task and stay with it till it's 100% complete. Now, here's the good news. If you do something repeatedly over and over again, what do you develop? Well, the answer is you develop a habit. So, if you develop the habit of organizing your activities by priority, picking your most important task, and staying on that one task until it's done, pretty soon it becomes a habit. And you get up in the morning, you pick your most important task, and you just mill through it. And every single time you start, you just keep working on that most important task. The guesstimate, the estimate would be that your productivity will increase 50% the first day that you begin working on your most important task and staying at it till it's complete. So we say your ability to select your most important task and then to work on it single-mindedly without diversion or distraction will double and triple the quality and quantity of your output and your productivity. And it is a key to success for every single person in every single industry. Single handling, what we're just talking about, is one of the most important and powerful of all time management techniques. It simply means that when you start with a task, you avoid all distractions and you stay with that task until it's complete. Once you've developed the habit of completing your tasks, you will earn 2 and 3 and even 5 times as much as other people. I'm asked on a regular basis, how is it that I can write and publish 4 books a year, 250 to 300 page books, and if I do say so myself, all of them are very good, loaded with great information. 4 books a year, professional writers for whom it is their life are lucky to publish 1 book every 2 to 4 years. I publish 4 a year, plus I give 100 talks a year in 10 or 20 or 30 countries, plus I run a large real estate business and a whole lot of other things. How can I write so many books? It's very simple. Focus, concentration, single handling. I make a list, I make a plan, I organize the list in order, and then I work on it until the book is complete. And people say, well, how do you do that? So what I did is I wrote it down and I put it on my website. If anybody here ever wants to write a book, go to my website under free newsletters and click it down, how to write a book, and just download it. It's the 20 steps to writing a book. I've given that to people who've been struggling to write a book for years, and within 6 months they've got a book on the book stands and become bestsellers. So if you're thinking of writing a book, go to the website and get that. Number 12, practice visualization on your goals. Many people think that this is the most exciting and powerful technique of personal success ever developed. And they may be right. Create clear, vivid, exciting, emotional picture of your goals as though they were already reality. Remember the one-to-one principle I talked about? This is a direct relationship between how clear you can see your goal in your mind and how rapidly it appears in your outer world. That's why getting pictures of things that you want, cutting them out of magazines and newspapers, and putting them in front of you and looking at them over and over again. So each time you look at them, you're taking a snapshot, a mental snapshot, which is conveyed to your subconscious mind until you get to the point where you can close your eyes and you can absolutely see that car, that home, that vacation, that thin waist. You can see it clearly. And when you can see it clearly in your mind's eye, it starts to come into your external reality. So see your goal as though it were already achieved. Imagine the goal has been accomplished. Imagine yourself enjoying the accomplishment of this goal. If it's a car, imagine yourself driving this car. I had a friend once who was unemployed, and he wanted a brand new BMW. He didn't have the money. He had an old used car. But every single Saturday, he went down and took a brand new BMW for a test drive. They got sick of seeing him, I can tell you that. Every Saturday he came down, he'd sit in the car, he'd feel the car, he'd do up the seatbelt, he'd look at the wheels, he'd drive it around the block a few times, and he'd do this. But over the course of that year, do you know what happened? First of all, he got a job that didn't work out, and he got another job that didn't work out, then he got a third job, where what he'd learned in the first two jobs helped him in the third job. He became extremely successful, and in December of that year, he walked into the dealership and bought a brand new BMW and drove it away. That was his goal, to get a BMW within 12 months. And he could see it with such crystal clarity, every single detail of the car that he wanted. Now, some people say, but what if it doesn't work? No, you nitwit. The question is, what if it does work? What if it does work? All it costs you is a little bit of mental time. And since you're going to think about something, you might as well think about something you'd really like to have. Since your mind is always creating pictures, you might as well create pictures of something you really want rather than pictures of things that you may not want. So if it's a vacation that you want, see yourself on the vacation already. Get the brochures. Go onto the website. Look at the place. Imagine walking along the beach. Imagine skiing down the slopes. I mean, just imagine like you're already doing it. If it's a beautiful home that you want, see yourself living in a beautiful home. Now, what Barbara and I did some years ago when we were just starting off and had no money, every Saturday and Sunday we'd go to open houses in the very best neighborhoods. And we walk through these beautiful homes, and we look at the chandeliers and the spiraling staircases and the swimming pools and the lovely dining rooms and marble-top kitchens, and we walked through it as though we already owned the place. And you know, before the dust had settled, that's the kind of house we were living in. And it happens for everybody who tries it. So in visualizing, another point is to take a few moments to create the emotions that would accompany the successful achievement of your goal. A mental picture combined with an emotion has an enormous impact on your subconscious and on your superconscious mind. In other words, if you can see it and create the emotion, we say get the feeling of pride, the feeling of excitement, the feeling of love, the feeling of happiness, contentment, warmth, joy. Just kind of create the, take that feeling that you've had somewhere else and combine it in your mind with your new goal. And just put the two of them together like plugging a plug into a socket, and suddenly it becomes electrical. Visualization is perhaps the most powerful faculty available to you to help you to achieve your goals faster than you ever thought possible. When you use a combination of clear goals combined with visualization and emotionalization together, you activate your superconscious mind. Your superconscious mind then solves every problem on the way to your goal. The superconscious mind will remove every obstacle. Your superconscious mind activates the law of attraction and begins attracting into your life people, circumstances, ideas, and resources that will help you to achieve your goals even faster than you can imagine. So the key to activating this power of attraction is a clear, exciting goal emotionalized that you can see in your mind over and over again. And every time you revisualize your goal, you activate this power again, like stepping on the accelerator of your own potential. So here's a goal-setting exercise that I promised you. This exercise is a life changer. I say to my clients, I'll show you how to double your income and double your time off over the course of a year. And then I teach them this exercise, and they come back, and almost everybody doubles their income and doubles their time off in the next 30 days with this very simple exercise. So the way you do it, and if you don't have to write this down now, because we'll send this all out to you in a few hours. Number one, take a clean sheet of paper and write the word goals at the top of the page along with today's date. Then discipline yourself to write out at least 10 goals that you would like to accomplish in the next year or in the foreseeable future. We encourage people to write one-year goals because one-year goals are the very best for maximum motivation. Begin each goal that you write for the rest of your life with the word I. Only you can use the word I. Only you in the universe can use the word I prior to your name. So follow the word I with an action verb that acts as a command from your conscious mind to your subconscious mind. You describe your goals in the present tense as though they had already been achieved. If your goal is to earn a certain amount of money in a certain year, you would say, I earn, I plus action verb, X number of dollars by December 31st, 2007. Always put a by, we call it a use by date on your goals to tell your subconscious mind when you want it. Remember deadlines we talked about earlier? If your goal is a new car, you would say, I drive such and such a car by such and such a date, as though you own, or I own such and such a car. I drive. If your goal is a new house, you say, I live in such and such a home by such and such a date. Finally, when you write down your goals, always write them in the positive tense. Instead of saying, I will quit smoking, you say, I am a non-smoker. Instead of saying, I will lose weight, you say, I weigh X number of pounds. Always state your goals as though they were already a reality, as though you had already accomplished them. This activates your subconscious and superconscious minds to change your external reality so that it's consistent with your inner commands. Now, this is really important. Your subconscious mind can only take commands in the present tense, in what we call the now. So whenever you write down a goal, you say, I earn, I have, I achieve, I save, I accumulate, I run, I weigh, as though it were a fact today. Then your subconscious goes to work 24 hours a day to make your inner command consistent with your outer reality. It gives you ideas and insights and attracts people into your life to help make that goal a reality. Now, finally, you've done all these things. Here's the kicker. Number 14 is you decide upon your major definite purpose. Once you've written out a list of 10 goals, you ask yourself this magic question. If I could wave a magic wand and achieve any goal on this list within 24 hours, which one goal would have the greatest positive impact on my life? This is the greatest question of all. This is really the summary statement. If you could
wave a magic wand and looking at your list of 10 goals that you've written out and have any one of those goals within 24 hours, which one goal would have the greatest positive impact on your life? And whatever your answer to that question, this becomes your major definite purpose. This becomes your focal point. This becomes the organizing principle of your entire life. And what you do is you don't try to accomplish 1,000 things or 100 things at once. You just work on that one goal. You get up in the morning and you think about the goal. All day long you think about the goal. And in the evening you review what you've done. And you ask, what skills do I have to learn to achieve this goal? And what people do I have to see? And so on. In other words, that goal becomes the organizing principle of your whole life. And things will start to happen for you in ways that you cannot now imagine. So whatever your answer to that question, put a circle around that one goal. Then transfer this goal to the top of a clean sheet of paper. So let's say your goal is, my goal is to earn $100,000 a year by December 31st, 2007. All right? So you write it down clearly and in detail. I earn $100,000 in 2007. Two, set a deadline on your goal. I earn this amount by December 31st, 2007. Identify the obstacles that you'll have to overcome to achieve your goal, and identify the most important one, the critical constraint that determines the speed at which you achieve the goal, and focus on that. Number four, identify the knowledge and skills you will need to achieve your goal, and the most important skill that you will have to become excellent in. Number five, identify the people whose help and cooperation you will require, and think about what you can do to deserve their help. Number six, make a list of everything you'll have to do to achieve your goal. Add to this list as you think of new things to do. Number seven is organize your list by sequence and priority, by what is what you have to do first and by what is most important. Number eight, make a plan by organizing your list into steps from the first to the last and then resolve to take action on your plan every single day. Now, this is one of the most powerful of all principles. Whatever your goal, do something every day that moves you one step closer. 7 days a week, as we say, 24/7, 365. Every single day, do something that moves you forward on your major goal. And the most amazing thing will happen. You'll find yourself making progress on all your other goals at the same time. Number nine, plan your goal in terms of the activities that you will have to engage in to achieve it daily, weekly, and monthly in advance. Now, here's an important success principle, is you cannot control exactly how the goal will come into reality. You cannot control most things in your life, but you can control your activities. You can control the things that you do each day that move you towards your goal. And by controlling your activities directly, you indirectly control the achievement of your goals. You indirectly achieve the things you want in life by doing what you can do, which is controlling your activities. Number 10, set priorities on your list and identify the most important thing that you can do every single day to move most rapidly towards your most important goal. And finally, number 11, is discipline yourself to concentrate single-mindedly on the most important thing that you can do today until it is 100% complete. Practice single-handling with every major task. So let me wrap this up before we open it up for questions by saying this. Resolve in advance that no matter what happens, you will never give up. Persistence is self-discipline in action. Your persistence is your measure of your belief in yourself. Each time you persist and overcome the inevitable failures and disappointments that you will experience, you become stronger and better. You develop stronger and deeper character. You increase your self-esteem and self-confidence. Eventually, you become unstoppable. So decide exactly what you want, write it down, make a plan, and work on it every single day. If you do this over and over again until it becomes a habit, you will accomplish more in the next few years and months than many people accomplish in several years and even an entire lifetime. So please begin today and resolve that 2007 is going to be the very best year of your life until 2008. Now, let's open it up for questions. Hello, everybody. How are you?
Hello.
Great. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Was that helpful to you?
Absolutely.
Great.
Very much so. Did I give you enough work to do?
Yeah. My arm's tired from writing.
Yeah.
Remember, every point is written down and will be sent to you in 24 hours. So you'll be able to just walk through the material. Plus, we are sending you a program, the Ultimate Goal System, which is the finest process with workbooks for setting and achieving goals in the world. It's the best that's ever been done in history. Plus, we're sending you material on time management, plus material on personal success and so on. So you don't have to write very much. It's all coming to you in the mail.
Great deal.
Sounds good.
Now, does anybody have any questions?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
My name is Mark Cantor.
Hi, Mark.
How you doing? I'm certain I'm going to reach my goals. I've been listening to you for quite a while. And recently I listened to Wayne Dyer. You just mentioned him earlier. And something about the spiritual that he mentioned finally kicked in for me, and I'm certain, absolutely certain, without a doubt, I'm going to reach my goal. I wanted to thank you for inspiring me. And I'm working on a video game called Juggle Nuts.
Right.
And my goal is to, one of my goals with it is to get permission from you to thank you personally in the video game.
Absolutely.
Oh,
you have my unlimited permission, Mark. Anything that will help.
Oh, thank you so much, Brian.
And they've got all these witnesses. So you don't even need it in writing. So,
wow.
So good luck to you, Mark.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Brian.
You're welcome. Questions?
I don't want to be a part of that.
Are you coming to Miami anytime soon?
Pardon?
This is Juan from Brano. Are you coming to Miami for seminars anytime soon?
I usually come there about once a year. What I suggest you do, Juan, is go to my website under seminars, and it gives a listing of where I will be every month of the year.
Right.
And how to come to the seminar.
Very beginning.
I have a question.
Yes.
This is Rick in Minneapolis.
Hi, Greg.
Rick.
Hello, Rick.
Yes, nice to talk to you. Been watching your DVDs on goal planning the last couple of weeks, and certainly pleased to be here on the conference today. One thing that I wanted to ask you, and it's a little off of goal planning, but I know in some of the other sales areas you talk about it. If you were making, prospecting sales calls on the telephone, and you got somebody's voicemail, what do you think are the what's the important way that you think is the best way to get somebody's attention if you're leaving them a voicemail?
Well, what we do is we teach this in our sales seminars. Remember, nobody cares about your product or your company or you or anything. They only care what your product or service will do for them to improve their life. So when you leave a voicemail message, you have one goal. It's to get the person to call you back. And so you tell the person about the result or benefit of your product, not your product itself, not the service, not your company. You introduce yourself. You say, hello, my name is Rick. You give your full name. I'm with ABC Company, and we have an idea to help you save X number of dollars, achieve such and such a goal, achieve such and such a result. You only talk about what your product or service will do to improve the life of the customer, not what it is or how it works, just simply about the result or benefit. And say, I'd love very much to get together with you for a few minutes and show you how we can help you achieve this result or benefit. And then you give your phone number slowly, and then you repeat your phone number slowly to get them to call you back. But you can get 9 out of 10 callbacks if your message deals directly with a result or benefit that your customer wants.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good luck to you, Rick.
This is David Kramer calling.
Hi, David.
How are you?
Wonderful. Thank
good,
you.
Good. I have a question about two career goals. Last year, by far, better year than ever, I made $500,000 on a real estate development deal. I set a new goal for $1 million, but I'm almost thinking that that's too low. And I have a second career goal. I've done the real estate development for 20 years. I'd like to be a motivational speaker and author.
Yes.
And in the last month, I found myself at a high element treatment center with alcoholics and crack addicts making these very types of presentation, talking about many of the things that we're talking about.
Right.
So I'd like to be both, and how can I split my time or take a more correct focus to try to achieve both of these, one I know very well and one that is a beginning goal?
Well, David, the key is to dance with the one what brung you, as we say. It sounds like you've taken many, many years to develop your skills as a real estate developer. That is where you should focus your attention. You can have two things. You can have a vocation and an avocation. A vocation is the work that you do that pays you the kind of money that you want. An avocation is something that you do because you really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when your avocation becomes so outrageously successful that you're actually earning more from your avocation, from what you love, than from your vocation that you switch.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes 5 to 7 years of speaking before a person ever gets to the point where they can earn a good living at it. So, therefore, be cautious. I would say if you're doing so well in real estate development and you have a goal of earning $1 million or more, stay with the skills that you have because that's where you'll be the most successful.
And should it be an 80-20 rule there, 80% real estate, 20%? Or
that,
would you...
that is a great idea.
Good. Good.
Good. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Any questions?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, Brian, this is Ted. I had a, how do you facilitate these goal-setting sessions with families? Do you do it all at one time? Do you do it stretched out over weekends? How do you go about doing that?
Well, first of all, you're talking about my coaching program. The coaching program is for successful entrepreneurs and sales professionals, medical professionals who are earning more than $100,000 a year. And what we do is we help them do an analysis of their entire lives and the four key areas that we want, the four key focal points, and then we walk through and we organize, help them organize their lives so they're absolutely focused on the most important things they can accomplish in each key area of life and the most important things that they can do. And then we teach them how to delegate, downsize, outsource, eliminate, and concentrate on just a couple of things. And it's a one-year process, so it's not a goal-setting program. The setting of goals is an essential part of the process. Just like the analysis of their business, the determinant of their unique selling proposition, the delegation of their low-value tasks. There's a whole series of things that are taught, and the goal setting is just the core part. And it takes about a year to take people from where they are because it takes time for people, like a great ocean liner, to change direction in the ocean. They can't just do it with one book or one seminar or one weekend. It takes time and practice, so we set them up with exercises and then practice over the course of the year.
You can talk to...
Question?
David.
Okay, whoever's got their music on in the background, could they turn that off, please?
Brian?
Yes.
My name is Philip. I have a question for you.
Yes, Philip.
The question is that very often we all have experienced the fact that there are things that are working hard in our life, but not everything and basically all the kind of focus area. What is it that you can do? And we also know that, you know, things come in series, either good or bad, etc. But what is it that you can do to make sure that these, you know, positive things and kind of the goal, you can realize your goals on kind of the different areas of your life at the same time? Because this is very striking to me that whenever I meet extremely successful people, it seems like everything works for them, everything in their areas of their life.
Well, it's a great question. It's been an organizing question for me for many years. And again, it's the process that we teach. And I call it the focal point process. And it's the ability to focus on one thing at a time. And to do just that one thing and to do it well. And then to change your focus and focus onto a second thing and do that and do it well. You can work on 10 to 12 goals at a time, maybe even more. But you need, first of all, a single goal, which is the central goal of your life. And then you need to work on each of the other goals like single shots, like a rifleman rather than a machine gunner. And you need to focus single-mindedly without distraction on one goal at a time and complete it. So everything comes down to completion and closure. I call it the three C's: clarity with regard to the goal, completion, and closure on that activity or goal, and then go on to the next one. Other than that, you'll have a tendency to run off in all directions trying to do too many things at once.
Brian, this is Eric here.
Thank you. Next question, please.
I have a question.
Kathy Robinson.
Yes, I'm sorry, what is your name?
Kathy Robinson.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Yes, thank you for today. It's awesome. I wanted to ask about the constraint. You talked about the theory of constraints, and you
yes.
had executives working on that for a year. I have a similar constraint, and I'm thinking, should that be at the top of my list for the goal?
Well, what...
Let's just say it's organizing, and I mean, I feel like I'm organized, but I feel I can run more efficiently if I'm top-notch to organize and hire some consultants and things like that. So
Then what you would do is you would set a goal. What I do is I use affirmations. Remember that 95% of your emotions are determined by how you talk to yourself. And so what you would do is you give commands to yourself. You say, I am organized and efficient, and I always work on the most valuable use of my time. And I'll write that down. I am organized and efficient, and I always work on the most valuable use of my time. And as you repeat this over and over, almost like a mantra, your subconscious mind accepts it, and it begins to change the way you work. Then you begin to see opportunities to be organized and efficient and work on the most valuable use of your time. In other words, you begin to see opportunities. You begin to attract help. You begin to delegate effectively. So just start giving the command. Describe yourself as you would like to be, as though you are already the most organized and efficient person in your business. Say, I am organized and efficient, and I always work on the most valuable use of my time. And repeat that every day before you start up. And repeat it during the day if you get off track. And you'll be absolutely amazed. Pretty soon you'll have completely reprogrammed yourself for personal organization and efficiency. And everything else will start to take care of itself.
Kind of mimics Tony Robbins' most important part of the day. Thank you.
Right.
Yes, Brian.
Brian, Terry Ammerman.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. My question is, when you've had situations where you've been knocked down, so to speak, you've had a deal gone sour or a betrayal of some kind, do you have something you do that really ramps up your focus so that you're not distracted by the emotions that go along with something like that?
Well, what I do, I mentioned it earlier, is I say to myself, wait a minute, I am responsible. I am responsible. I am responsible. Because you'll find that all negative emotions come from blaming. All negative emotions come from blaming. Usually it's other people, and then sometimes it's ourselves. So we blame ourselves, if only I'd done this, if only I'd done that, and so on. Or we become angry with someone else who did or didn't do something. And the way that you can just simply short-circuit that, like turning off a light switch, is just say, wait a minute, I'm responsible. I'm responsible for getting myself here. I'm responsible for dealing with this situation. And here's what helps me, is I say, now what can I learn from this situation that will help me to be better in the future? What can I learn from this situation? And my promise to you is if you say, I am responsible, and what can I learn? And write it down. Take a piece of paper. I just did this a few weeks ago. I went through a very difficult situation that you're talking about, and I sat down and said, wait a minute, I'm responsible, because my natural tendency was to be mad at somebody. And I said, wait a minute, I'm responsible. Now, what can I learn from this situation? And I just began writing lessons. I came up with 28 things I could learn from that situation that would help me in the future. And while you're accepting responsibility and thinking about the lessons that you've learned, it's impossible to be negative or angry or depressed. In fact, it starts to make you feel positive and back in control. So please do that. Play this game with your head. Accept responsibility and start thinking about the lessons you've learned, and pretty soon you'll be right back out of the negativity and back into positive territory.
Thank you. That's
Brian, Ryan, Ruth.
Thank you. Hello. Is it Brian or Ryan?
It's Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Brian. I've been selling advertising for 10 years for Rob Report magazine. And my question is, do you have any type of resource for print advertising sales that you could refer me to that is really next level and specific to print advertising?
Well, it's I don't have anything specific for print advertising because it's a specialized field, but I have thousands of friends who sell advertising of every kind who benefited dramatically from my programs, The Psychology of Selling and Advanced Selling Techniques.
I have those.
You have those? Where, those
then my second question would be, you know, I'm dedicated to this business 100% 24/7.
Right.
But I feel like I'd like to also do something outside of this business, you know, in my own time, maybe Sundays, Saturdays, some evenings. Do you have any type of second business that is a great opportunity that you would recommend for a 30-year-old, young, aggressive salesperson like me that I could find some passion in, as well as developing my Rob Report business? Is there anything that you would recommend that's in the market right now?
Well, I cannot give you an answer, but I will tell you what happens in life is what you do is you go out and you try something. And you most of the things you try won't work. But by trying this, looking at that, giving this a shot, experimenting, eventually, by the law of probabilities, you'll find the perfect thing for you. But the only way you can do it is to say, the only way you can find the right woman for you is to go through a lot of the wrong women. The only way a woman can find the right man is to go out with wrong men. The only way you find the right business opportunity is by experimenting and trying a lot of business opportunities until you fall into the right one. And nobody can shortcut that for you. It's like saying, look, I don't want to go dating. I just want to find the right person the first time I go out on a date. Well, unfortunately, it's not the way the world works. You have to try a lot of things to get enough experience to recognize the right thing when you get it. So the answer is get going. The law of probability says you go out and try a lot of different things, get a lot of information, attend some courses, talk to some people. Pretty soon you'll find something that grabs you. You say, I like this. This is interesting. It'd be something like our friend who was talking about real estate development, David. He really likes real estate development. I mean, he enjoys doing it. And so he's very fortunate because most people work at things that they don't like most of their lives. But the only way to find out is through trial and error. So just go out and start trying things.
Sure. Brian, this is Darren in Toronto.
Hey, I'm sorry, what's your first name?
Darren, I'm in Toronto.
Hi, Darren.
Hi. Outside of goal setting, my problem lies within that discipline and consistency of focus.
Right.
And I was just wondering what programs are there that you might offer to help me with that discipline factor and to create that a consistent focus.
Well, we have a goal called the Power of Clarity. We have a program called the Power of Clarity, which is a step-by-step program that's totally aimed at helping you to focus with great clarity in every key area of your life. And it's so effective. It's just unbelievable. And, of course, it's guaranteed for a year. So come to the website and pull it up and get it and listen to it. It also comes with a workbook that is one of the best workbooks I've ever seen because it's very comprehensive and it gives you every step and a whole series of exercises you can use to internalize those principles. So it's called The Power of Clarity, and it's phenomenal. And it's exactly that, focus and concentration. But it takes every area of your life, your health, your home, your relationships, your inner development, your family, your income, your financial well-being, it helps you to focus in on the most important things you can do to achieve at the highest level in each one of those. So come and get the program. And as I say, it's guaranteed for a year. So if you don't like it, you can send it back. But we never get any back because people love the program. That will help you, Darren.
Hi, Brian. Norm Fox here.
Yes, Brian. This is Bob.
Hi, Bob.
First off, it's an honor to actually speak with you, sir. I'm a big fan, and hopefully I can implement some of your ideas and put them to work for me. My question is, and I'll try to be brief, is what do you say to the person that listens to your audios and watches your DVDs but has a hard time implementing some of your ideas?
Well, that's a great question, Bob. What happens, if you're listening to this program, it already means that you are way above the average person because the average person never listens to anything. But if you are, that means you're very ambitious. And I've had this discussion many times, but if you're ambitious, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're in sales, then you have the same psychological profile as an attention deficit disorder child. In other words, you have what they call in Zen Buddhism monkey mind. And people with monkey mind are like monkeys swinging from branch to branch. Is they try this and they try that, and they try this and they try that, and they go back and forth. That's why I keep talking about focus and concentration. So what I learned is that when you learn a bunch of new ideas, you or me, we want to try them all out at once. We want to go out and do this and do that and do this and do that. So what you have to do is discipline yourself to do one thing at a time. So, of course, in goal setting, what we suggest is there's a whole series of exercises. Pick one. Most important thing is make a list of 10 goals and select one that if you could achieve it within 24 hours would have a profound effect on your life. And then just work on that one goal each day. And don't try to change the world. When we teach time management, we say take one time management technique or method or one area of time management that's hurting you and just work on that one area. And be prepared to work on it for a week, a month, a year if necessary, but just one at a time.
And the interesting thing is that as you make progress in one area, which you do by concentrating in that one area, surprise, surprise, you'll find yourself making progress in a whole bunch of other areas at once. So my suggestion to you, Bob, is just focus on a single thing that you feel can be most helpful to you now. And don't worry about trying to do a whole bunch of things. Because I say try to do a whole bunch of things is like trying to ride three bicycles at once. You end up just falling down. But if you just focus on one thing, you'll make progress on that far faster than you imagine, and progress on everything else at the same time, indirectly.
Well, one of my goals is meeting you one day. I hope I get the chance.
Well, thank you. I'm in Toronto every single year doing seminars. Just go onto the Internet.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Hey, Brian. Jack Green.
Hi, Jack.
How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Good. Brian, I was a Focal Point guy back in 2005.
Right.
And I for anyone who is considering that, I do highly recommend that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jack. I'll pay you later.
I have a question for you.
Right.
All these things that I listen to on the tapes and attend in the seminar out there in San Diego, they're almost automatic to deliver success if you're not, especially if you're not doing anything in this regard. How do you address the fact that you get bogged down? It is crazy, but you get bogged down. You do this, you get successful, and then within 3 months of the success, you end up bogged down again by the success.
Yes, well, join the human race.
It's a good problem to have, but it is something that I recognize does happen because especially the whole goal setting process and staying on it does change your life and bring you success, but then you do end up fighting out of it again.
Yes, and that's normal and natural. What you have to do is you just keep setting progressively higher goals. But one of the things, as you know, Jack, from coming to the Focal Point program, is the importance of rest, is the importance of taking a break, of backing off, getting away. It's really, really important that you do that because you get onto like the wheel, just on a treadmill and you never stop. And you start to lose your enthusiasm and you start to slow down and so on. So sometimes the very best thing you can do is just get away for a day, 2 days, a week and just relax. And one of the great rules, if you're going to go on any kind of a vacation, don't do any work at all. Don't take your BlackBerry or your cell phone or your computer or things like that. Because if you try to do work on a vacation, you will neither get any work done nor do you get rested. But if you just will rest, just take some time, just go to bed early, get a lot of sleep and so on, it's absolutely astonishing. You come back full of energy, you come back full of creativity, you come back fully alive. And that's a really important responsibility. And here's another thing, and I don't mean to beat it to death, but if you're a successful person, you like to work. You like your work. You just want to be busy. And that's good. That's really healthy. But the fact is, it takes more discipline now to not work than to work. It used to when you were young. You had to discipline yourself to do your homework. Now, you have to discipline yourself to not work. You almost have to, like a horse, you have to pull back on your own reins to stop yourself from working because you're into working. And if you realize that, you think, oh, wow, that's true. I mean, it's hard to slow down. It's almost like your car is going so fast, and you take your foot off the gas, and you still got tremendous forward momentum. So you need to discipline yourself to back off and rest a little bit, give yourself some time to think, go for a walk, get a good night's sleep, things like that. And that keeps you alive and excited about your work.
Just a quick follow-up, if you don't mind. Do many people come back and do Focal Point regularly? Like I talked to Michelle about it the other day because I've given some thought to doing it again because it keeps you in that zone. I'm not blowing off everything you just said about relaxing, believe me, but that zone, when I was in the Focal Point, you remained in a zone. It's very fresh to you. You're always thinking about it, and it kind of keeps you sharp like that.
Yes.
Many people do that?
Yes. Some people have been coming back for 5 and 6 years. And each time they come back, their income goes up 50-100%.
Wow.
We have one gentleman, a good, nice guy. His name is Ron. He was a school superintendent and middle school principal. And he became a school superintendent. Then he became head of the school superintendents of Michigan. And then he got an executive job. Today he makes over $500,000 a year as a senior executive in an educational bureaucracy. And they're happy to pay him that because he's used all these focal point principles at every single level of the organization and transformed it into one of the most effective in the United States. And so here's a guy, he's a teacher, basically a school principal, who's profoundly changed his life, but he comes every year. Every year he comes back, he says, and each year he comes back, it's like a whole new program because he's a whole new person. And he sees everything differently. And he sees different ways to apply the principles. So if you're thinking of coming back, as you know, we unconditionally guarantee your satisfaction. If you think of coming back, I promise you, when you come back, it'll be like you've never been there. These principles that you've heard before, you'll have forgotten almost all of them. So you're more than welcome, Jack. We'd love to see you.
Thanks, Brian.
Well, if you don't care, it saves me money for you not to go.
Hey, Brian, this is Conrad in freezing Houston.
Hello, hello, Conrad.
Hey, I was just kind of curious, how come you didn't include in your four key areas of life mental and spirituality?
Well, because mental and spiritual things are things we talk about, but they're too big a subject for a subject on goals. We're talking about goals. To get into those areas, we could spend a whole hour and a half or maybe several days on spirituality. I think spiritual development and inner peace are more important than anything else. But I also have found that those are a result. They kind of happen. I got a letter today from someone saying, how come you say that you can't achieve happiness when you're materials? And my answer to her is that happiness comes indirectly. You know, the old saying, if you seek after happiness, it's like chasing a butterfly. It'll always get away from you. But if you sit calm and quietly and at peace, it'll land on your shoulder. Well, when you're doing what you enjoy doing and you feel your life is under control and you're in happy relationships because you're accomplishing the things you want with the people you love, and your health is good because you're exercising and dieting, and you have your finances under control, those are the four major causes of stress and unhappiness. If you've got them under control, the natural result is you'll be a happy person and you'll become more developed spiritually.
Right?
Brian, this is Jim from Philadelphia.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Yes, Brian, I've attended your seminar and so many other seminars for the last 5 years in real estate, and I'm a contractor. We do a little bit of real estate development. And over the past 5 years, we've only been able to accumulate, say, $1.5 million worth of real estate, which is really nothing. It's a couple properties. But do you recommend that I get a mentor? Because I just find it so complicated to do my business, construction business, and then on the side or in the weekends try to do the real estate business, and it's incredibly complex. Do you recommend that I get like some sort of mentor that's tops in the field and work with them?
It's a great idea. I've just developed about $20 million worth of real estate. So when you talk about the complexities of real estate and finance and sub-trades and dealing with government bodies and things like that, I almost start to cry while I listen to you, Jim, because I know what you're dealing with. And that's in California. In Pennsylvania, it must be a nightmare.
Yeah.
So it's hugely time-consuming. And if you take your eye off the ball, it can cost you an enormous amount of time and money and mistakes. So the best thing I've found is to work with a partner or, like you say, with a mentor who, in many cases, who does nothing but that. Real estate development can be very profitable, but it's not for the faint of heart, and it's not a part-time job. You have to have your whole mind focused in what you're doing, because even a small problem in the fine print on one document can set you back 3 to 6 months, as you know. So it's something you need to really, really focus on if you're going to do it. And if you can't do it all yourself, you need someone who can focus themselves, someone who's got the time and attention to really deal with the details, especially in Pennsylvania.
Hi,
Brian.
Noel Fox
from England.
I'm sorry, what is your name?
Noel Fox from England.
Once more.
It's Gary Foster from England.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Hi, fine, thanks. I just find your work very inspirational, so thank you for that. Martin,
well,
the question I have is right at the beginning of the process, the goal-setting process, have you any advice for sort of identifying the best goals? So we can make a list for identifying the best goals.
Well, what we say is write down 10 or 15 goals as fast as you can. And imagine that you can have anything that you want. Just you have all the time and money. Just write them down: house, home, car, health, travel, weight, family, girlfriend, whatever comes to your mind, and write them as fast as you can. And if you just write quickly, your true goals will pour onto the page. And then once you stop, it's like stopping and taking a breath, you go, whew, and you'll end up with a whole list of goals, and you can't do it wrong. And it's very important. You can do it again. I rewrite my 10 goals every day. So you don't have to worry about getting it right the first time, but just get 10 or 15 goals on paper, big, small, short-term, long-term, and then you go back and you say, if I could have any one of these goals within 24 hours, which one would I take? And the one goal that can have the biggest impact in your life will jump out at you. That becomes your organizing principle. It's just like there's that English story about the gentleman who jumped on his horse and rode off in all directions. Well, many of us jump on our horse and ride off in all directions. When you pick a single goal, and even though you want to accomplish all the others, just focus on the single goal. This is the great skill of success. All great men and women who accomplish extraordinary things, whether it's writing prize-winning novels or painting the Sistine Chapel or accomplishing great things in life and academics and business, are single-minded focused. And so you need to practice it. And a year from now, a month from now, you may change your major goal. You may decide that's not your major goal. You can change it again. But every single day you must be working with single-minded focus on the goal that can have the greatest positive impact on your life.
Brian, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Brian, I was wondering, I'm a little confused about differentiating between a goal and a project.
Yes.
For instance, I have my own business. It's been up for about a year now.
Yes.
And there are many things that need to be done in order for business to proceed.
Yes.
So, like the program run this weekend, I have to make sure everything is ready for that program. But that's not really a goal unless you look at it from the point of view that I have a successful business, so then what do I need to do? I'm not
right.
really sure when you say work on one goal at a time, like how do I manage that?
Okay, remember that usually the achievement, remember we talked about projects are multitask goals. The answer is to realize that you have your long-term goal, which is the amount of profit that you want to earn from your business in a particular period, a quarter, a half year, or a year. So that's your long-term goal, is that amount of profit. Then you work back to the present, and you say, what are the steps, the stepping stones, or what we call the stairs on the ladder? What steps must you take from here to there in order to end up with that amount of profit at the end of the year? And you say, well, in order to achieve that amount of profit, I'm going to have to make this number of sales. All right, so that becomes your sales goal. Then you say, to make this number of sales, I'm going to have this many prospects. So that becomes your advertising goal. Then say, in order to make this number of sales with this number of prospects, I'm going to have to convert this number of prospects into customers. And so that becomes your sales goal. And in order to do this, I'm going to have this amount of money in order to run my business. So that becomes your financial goal. So these are all parts of the long-term goal of profitability. And so that's the difference. Now, the difference between a goal and an activity, Lisa, is that a goal is something that requires overcoming adversity, difficulty, challenges, lot of unsureness and uncertainty. In other words, it's like competing in a contest. There's no guarantee that you will win. So it requires struggle and overcoming. An activity is something you do. Going shopping is not a goal. It's just an activity. Driving home is not a goal. It's an activity. A goal is something that is something big that you want to achieve, which requires overcoming adversity. That's the big difference. So to achieve a goal, there's a lot of activities in between, and there may even be a lot of sub-goals that you have to accomplish before you can achieve the major goal.
I have a business, and I have a business goal.
Yes.
Do I work on my personal health goal, or do I just only work on one thing at a time?
Well, my rule is this, is when you work all the time you work. In other words, if you go to work and you're working from 8 to 5 or 8 to 6, and if you own your own business, they say you only have to work half time, and you can pick whichever 12-hour period in the day that you like. But if you're running your own business, when you work the whole time. And when you're not working, be with your family. Exercise the whole time. Interesting thing about physical health, which I consider very important, is you need to set appointments with yourself for exercise. You need to set an appointment just like you're with your most important customer and block the time off. One of the things I don't necessarily encourage is people who break their work day and go off and exercise in the middle of the day, because work time is work time. It's not play time. It's not go off and exercise time. So when you work, work all the time you work. And when you're not working, then you can play.
The way you came out here, you had to tell us something.
Hello. Hi, Willie in Japan.
Hi, Willie. Willie in Japan.
Ah, yes, hi.
How are you?
Very good. Thank you for this seminar today, and I've been listening to your goals CDs, and they've really helped me.
Thank you.
My Japanese wife and I have just started a business, and one of the most valuable things I've learned from you is being in contact with potential clients face-to-face as much as possible.
Yes.
And I was wondering what your experience is doing business in Japan. You've been to Japan a couple of times. So I was just wondering what
experience you've had in Japan.
Yeah.
Is that relationships are very important.
Yeah.
Relationships, trust, politeness, courtesy, understanding the cultural differences. When people say yes, it doesn't mean that they agree. It just means that they're acknowledging that you have spoken. And so I think face-to-face relationships are critical. The interesting thing is that once you have had a face-to-face relationship and the person knows you and likes you and trusts you, you can deal with that person by telephone for many years.
But the face-to-face is meeting is usually the starting point of the relationship.
And what my ears during your today's seminar, you said you did some work with Suzuki.
Yes.
And the 42 steps of that.
Yes.
What steps do you for starting a business? I have a Canadian business from Canada. There's a Canadian business that wants to open in Japan.
Yes.
Do you know any steps that it would take to start that?
No. Every business is different. It's like every recipe has different ingredients in different quantities. So what you have to do is go out and figure out what they are. And the easiest way is to ask people, you know, how do you start in this business? What are the different steps? What do you do at each step? And write them down. And then put them in sequence, and then start working through the steps. It takes a little bit of time. Remember that 10-20 rule? It takes about 10 to 20% of the time that you spend at the beginning will save you 80% of the time at the end. And the way that you get the information, go and ask other people who've already done it, or read their books. Sometimes people have written a book, and this is how you do it. But if it's a specific industry, go and ask somebody else in the industry, what are the stages? And they'll tell you. And make a list, and organize the list, and then work the list every day.
And one final you were born in PEI, is that correct?
That's correct.
What town in PEI were you?
In Charleston.
Oh, Charleston. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, Charleston is 50 years ago it had 30,000 people in Charleston, and today it has 30,000 people.
Yeah.
Prince Edward Island has not grown in 100 years.
But there's a lot of development going on there now.
Yes, very beautiful place. I was there this summer for the first time in my life. My adult life, I went back to Prince Edward Island. It's very beautiful.
All right, thank you very much, Brian. Nice
thank you.
You.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Hi, Brian. Noel Fox here.
Norm?
Noel.
Hello, Noel. How are you?
Good, thanks. So I have a company, and it started off as a fairly small company, and we're big into goal setting, and this last year we aimed to double our company size and double our sales, and we achieved that, more than doubled our sales, which was really great. But our next goal is to actually become profitable.
Yes, that's a good goal.
Yeah, and doubling our, you know, I can grow a business very easy. I mean, we have an advertising agency, and to grow a business is really simple. But we're really struggling with, you know, how do you become more profitable? And I know that you don't have the answer, but do you have any steps that, just any insight you might have into, kind of. Finding goals or setting goals in areas where you're really gray or don't really have a clear answer to.
Well, there's a series of questions you can ask, and it's like the constraint question. You ask yourself, we're doing business. Why aren't we already profitable? Why aren't we already profitable? That's question number one. And sometimes you'll see why you're not. So it can be because your sales are too low or your costs are too high.
Yeah.
So then the second question you ask, is there any cost that we have that knowing what we now know, we wouldn't get into again today? Is there any cost that knowing what we now know, we wouldn't start it again today? And sometimes we get into a cost. And I'll give you a quick example. A friend of mine who is an accountant, very smart guy, he was offered a company for sale. The company had sales of about $270,000 or something like that, and yet it was breaking even. And they wanted to sell the company for $200,000. So he bought the company, and he looked at the books. He was an accountant, looked at the books, and he bought the company, and then he immediately fired the president, who was expecting to stay on as the manager, who was paying himself $120,000 a year, and he fired his secretary, who was he was paying $75,000 a year because she had been there a long time and who knows why else. And he eliminated $175,000 worth of costs. Then he hired a general manager for $50,000 and a secretary for her, for him for $25,000, and he immediately made $100,000 profit per year for the, from the business. Because what he did is he said, what are the big costs here that are stopping this company from being profitable? And sometimes you're going to find that people costs are the biggest cost. Sometimes the people in the company are being paid too well or paying themselves too well. But then you may say, well, the reason we're not profitable is our sales are not high enough. Then you ask the question, why aren't our sales high enough? Or how high do they have to be profitable, and what can we do to achieve that? When you're looking at your financial statements, and this is good for everybody, is always begin with the biggest number. And take that big number and put it right in front of you and say, now tear it apart. Why does this number exist? What does it include? Is it essential? Can it be cut back? Can it be reduced? Can it be eliminated? So always when you look at your financial statements, always start with the biggest numbers and work down. You don't make any money by cutting back on postage costs or telephone. You make your big savings by cutting back on your major expenses. And you do that all the time. I was reading a study about Procter & Gamble, one of the biggest companies in the world. They say one of the reasons they're successful is every single month, every single executive goes over every single expense to look for ways to reduce them. And they've done that for 80 years. So you need to do the same thing. Hello, are there any questions? Let's take two more questions.
Ryan, what advice would you give to someone who is reached a status in the profession where they want to transition, but they don't want to be in a situation where they endanger the goose that lays the golden egg?
Right.
Next time on, you know, me to like this, I like that.
So what is the answer to that question? Well, the answer is, you know, you ask the question, how do porcupines make love? And the answer is very, very slowly and carefully. And so it's the same thing. If you're going to make a transition, even if you've decided to make a transition 100%, you don't need to do it instantly. You need to sort of begin making plans, getting new information, starting to transition into the other field. And you can expect to transition out anywhere from 12 to 36 months. And you want to replace the income you're making today with the income that you want to make in the future. So again, you write it down as a goal, and you organize it. What are the obstacles that stand between me and my goal? What are the knowledge and skills that I'll need to have? Whose people's cooperation will I require? And then you make a plan, and you organize the plan by sequence, and you begin to take steps one day at a time. And surprise, surprise, again, like changing the direction of a great ocean liner, in 6 months or 12 months or 18 months now, you've made a very successful, seamless, smooth transition. And everybody will just say that you're really lucky. Geez, you sure are lucky.
Thank you very much.
Oh, God.
All right, one more question, and then I'll let you all go. Thank you.
Okay.
The card.
Brian?
Yes.
This is Lori in Montana.
Hi, Lori.
After listening to all this, first of all, thank you for everything. And when I make a list, such as like for the day, if I make a list of things to do.
Yes.
Because I'm a lawyer and I practice out of my home. And so I'll make my list of different things, but I have a hard time figuring out which one of those things is the highest priority, because I'll look at the list and they'll seem like they're all high priority to me.
Right.
What do I do?
The way you do it is you say, imagine you had an emergency just came up and you could only complete one task on this list before you were called out of town for a week. Which one would you be sure to get done? If you could only complete one task before being called away for a week, which one would you be sure to get done? And that's often very helpful. It sort of jumps out at you, that's the one I'd want to get done, and then start on that task.
Okay. Okay. And then the other thing is, in like making the goals for the year.
Yes.
If I look at what would hold me back from achieving those, the one common thing is my inability to be self-disciplined and focused.
Right.
So should that become my goal?
Yes.
Then,
and now, first of all, you develop the skill of golfing by swinging golf clubs, and the skill of tennis by swinging a tennis racket. You develop the skill of discipline by practicing discipline. And the simplest way of practicing discipline is to select your most important task and then discipline yourself to work only on that. Don't try to change anything else in your life. I'm sure you brush your teeth in the morning, so you don't have to worry about that as a discipline. So just simply discipline yourself to work on one task at a time and make sure it's the most important task. Now, this is on the one hand the hardest discipline to learn. On the other side, though, it's the most important skill for success. And once it becomes a habit, your productivity, performance, output, and income will all double. But it takes a while, so you need to be patient with yourself. And if you slip and start fooling around or doing little things, grab a hold of yourself and bring yourself back. Just almost like you were your own employee who wasn't paying attention. You get your employee to get back to that job. Here is something that is very helpful to say whenever you feel distracted. It's very powerful. Just keep saying to yourself, back to work, back to work, back to work, back to work, back to work. And you'll find that if you find yourself becoming distracted and you start repeating that, you'll immediately go back to work. And pretty soon, every time you start to get distracted, those words will pop up in the back of your mind. Whoops, back to work. And soon it becomes a habit. Well, good luck to you, Lori. And thank you very much, everybody, for being on this call. Everything that I talked about is written down in detail in the notes that you'll receive. Everything we discussed is on a CD and will be coming to you very soon. And all the other material will be sent to you as well. If you have any questions or follow-up questions, come to me at briantracy@briantracy.com and I will personally answer for you. And other than that, I wish that 2007 be the best year of your life.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.